Welcome to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast, where we aim to give swimming the coverage and publicity it deserves. Every week, we celebrate the sport we love with amazing special guests and topics from around the swimming pool. And now, here are your hosts, Scott and Dan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. Episode number two this week. We said we were ramping things up for Tokyo, and we were not kidding. I'm back with Dan. How are you doing, Dan?
Yeah, very good. I'm actually quite excited for this week because we've got three or four podcasts in this week. And yeah, like you say, we're ramping up towards Tokyo, and the excitement is now starting to set in. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So over the past few months, we've covered a lot about British swimming. It's all kind of winding down on the racing front over here as they prepare for Tokyo. But elsewhere around the world, there are Olympic trials happening. And we thought, being a swimming podcast, we have to talk about them. We have to cover them. And today we are starting with the Aussie trials, which have just finished. And in truth, they blew the doors off their trials. It was incredible for many, many different reasons.
Oh, man. I mean, it was so good. I mean, I was watching it on Amazon Prime every morning for the finals. Australian records being broken literally all over the place. They were swimming so well. And if I remember right, there was nine world leading times as well, which is just incredible.
Yeah. At the point that we are recording this, there are nine world leading times. We have to remember US trials are going on right now. There are some fast swims being swum over there. We will talk about those once those trials are done. Don't worry. A review podcast is coming for those. But yeah, Aussie trials are done. We thought we would give you kind of the standout swims of the meet. What names to keep an eye on for Tokyo. Some people who missed their big events in Tokyo. There are some talking points to talk about. Mm. But before we get into the swimming in the pool, Dan, there's one massive topic we need to cover, because Amazon Prime and swimming are together, and oh my God, did they kill it.
Oh man, it's a wonderful mixture. I mean, I remember tweeting about it and just like, it's flawless. Honestly, every single bit of it. I mean, I could list so many things. You got the underwater footage, which was absolutely incredible. You had the experts panel. So you've obviously got the former para international swimmers. You've got Grant Hackett, who I think was back in Melbourne, I think. Not actually there, but, you know, he had one like a video call or whatever. It felt like it was so good, wasn't it? Really, really good. And although he didn't speak very much, Grant, he's so wise, so knowledgeable, especially when the 1500s are going on. No, really good. I mean, there's extra things, but that they were the top two things, definitely.
Yeah, there's a few things that we kind of want to take a deep dive into, why this is a positive move for swimming and kind of what we can take away from this, whether there's a route finally that swimming might have a broadcaster, which is putting money into it. I know over in the US, there's NBC. They obviously put a lot of money into swimming, but elsewhere around the world, there's nothing. There's really not much. So as we're going to take a dive into the positives, but before we do that, I do have one tiny negative before everyone asks British swimming to put it everything that they do on Amazon, because it was done really well. And that's, it is behind a paywall.
It's a very minor inconvenience from my point of view. I think it's so good, but yes, you're right. It is behind a paywall, but the value you get for Amazon with the deliveries and all that sort of stuff.
Yes.
So that is worth it.
That's kind of the caveat to it. So you never really want to put a sport which is trying to grow its audience behind a paywall. Once you're established, like football, I mean, rugby's behind a paywall as well, I guess, on BT. But sports like cricket, that struggled to grow because it's on a paywall, behind a paywall in Sky Sports. Same with golf. I wouldn't say there's too many people I know who are sitting down to tune into golf unless they are really, really invested.
And hardcore fans, yeah.
Yeah, you don't want swimming to become like these sports and get stuck and struggle to grow its audience, because it does need to grow. But then you think about how many people probably have Amazon Prime listening to this podcast. Probably loads of people. You got it for your deliveries. I've got it. I've barely watched anything on it. I just have it for deliveries. So then it becomes less of a paywall, and then we can start talking about the positives of Amazon.
Yes. Pretty much echo everything you've just said. I think a lot of people have Amazon now, like you say, for deliveries, and it's there for, it's a bit like Netflix as well with the videos and and the films and stuff like that as well. I think it's great. And if hopefully if Amazon can stay with swimming, then I just think there's only one way to go, and that's up. Especially if it's the production level was the same as what it was for Australian trials, then really exciting.
It felt like a lot of money had been thrown at it. And I'm not sure if it had, but the way that it was done was on a professional scale that I have never seen swimming covered before.
Well, I was saying to you...
It felt like a NFL coverage.
Yeah, I was saying to you when I was watching it, like every single bit of it, I enjoyed all of it. I enjoyed all of it. Even the gaps in between races, we were moaning about it in Glasgow, I remember.
It's just silent usually and staring at a pool.
Yeah, just because the camera was just staring at the pool and not doing much. Whereas the Australian trials, they had pre-production interviews with the swimmers. They had, for example, during the 800s and 1500s, the distance events, you say you get bored. They had interviews. Yeah. They have interviews during that swim of the swimmers in the water with their pre-interviews before the competition, or with the coaches, or with the parents. It keeps you engaged more. And that's honestly, it was so good. Really, really good.
Yeah, there's a few things that I really want to talk about as well, which is the graphics. And yeah, I'm not talking about kind of bringing up times or anything like that. The most important thing for me was the para swimming and the fact that they had qualifying times for each individual lane.
Yeah, so simple, so effective. The only issue with that is that they couldn't have the world record line. So they had Ben Hantz swimming in the 100 backstroke, I think it was, right at the end. And they wanted to find out if he hit the world record, but they couldn't put that red line in because of all the other graphics for the individual lanes. Maybe that's a thing to improve on, I don't know. But at the same time, unbelievable. As soon as I saw it, I was like, wow, this is it's almost revolutionary, but it's so simple, you know? Incredible. Such a simple thing to do. And like you say, it's brilliant for para swimming, and I think it's much needed, honestly.
I do. So, I mean, we could talk about Amazon all day. It was so good. If anyone hasn't seen it, go watch it. All of the live streams from Amazon are still all available on Amazon Prime. I think they've even put up highlights on YouTube on their channel. For once, as someone who's doing YouTube and doing media and creativity, to see it done so flawlessly was brilliant to see.
Yeah, I mean, I've just remembered another thing where bringing Grant Hackett back in, before every major race, for example, Kate Campbell in the 100 free, they would do like a stroke analysis on her. And Grant would pick out four key points. So like, for example, she slow off the block because she's got she's quite tall, 6'1", but she makes up for it by having a strong, powerful stroke. And then she usually fades away the last 15, 20 meters or so. And he's like, bang on, absolutely bang on. And just stuff like that. I mean, we as watchers of swimming want to see that. And I just think, everything that the Amazon did was pretty much nailed on.
So what are the next steps then? Because I don't know if British Swimming have a deal with BBC that they can't get into bed with Amazon. Maybe that's the case. But if I'm wanting one event to join up with Amazon over the next, let's say 2 years, because I'm sure it's going to take a while to sort this thing out, it's ISL. ISL is the most exciting form of swimming out there right now. We fully believe that. So I basically think if ISL and Amazon joined forces, we could finally see some sort of change within swimming. We could see maybe a revolution, slightly.
Yeah, I mean, maybe a slight revolution. That's an interesting word. Yeah, but I like the idea of them joining together. You might be right. It might take a good couple of years for that to happen. But I think ISL, because it's brand new, they're still trying to figure out what works, what doesn't. And I know a lot of people don't like the camera angles used at ISL because it doesn't show every lane, and the spider cameras used too much, for example. Whereas at trials and Amazon, it's just on the back sand, on the back row of the stand, and it's just watching that you can see every swimmer.
Yeah,
simple stuff like that. But hopefully, it does get to a point where they join forces because, I mean, ISL is the way forward, and obviously swimmers are taking part in ISL after Tokyo, which we were a little bit shocked at as well. So obviously they're trying to push it as well, which is a good thing. So hopefully it does take off.
So that's Amazon covered, not briefly at all, so I'm sorry about that. We did ramble slightly, but honestly I'm so excited for what the future might hold within swimming. I think Aussie trials have definitely given a preview of that. But Should we jump into the races? Because like you said, 9 world leading times at the trials, 1 world record at trials. And I think that's the place to start. Kaylee McEwen, we put on our YouTube channel, we put a black ball breakdown on. We thought she's going to be a future star, a future medalist. A world record coming at trials, though. 100 back. Wow.
Blown away by it. Honestly, I think she was going to get close to it because she swam 57.6, I believe it was, at the Sydney Open maybe a month or two ago. So I thought she was going to get somewhere close to that sort of time, but I didn't think she was going to go a world record. I mean, that world record is pretty quick from Reagan Swith. Not hers anymore. She broke it by 0.1. Just a fantastic swim from her. And she's going to be an absolute medal threat, not just in 100 back, but other events as well.
Oh, yeah. Let's get into her other events because she set the fastest time in the world in the 200 IM. She went a 208.1, it's still some way off Katinka Hossu's record, but that's the fastest time in the world by quite a distance this year.
It is, yeah. Well, Abby Wood's on 2.9, isn't she? So she's
2.92.
2.92, so a second ahead of Abby. And we said that Abby is almost, you think that she's almost guaranteed a podium position now. And if you look at Kaylee McEwen, if that's the case, then she's going to be standing on the top of the podium with that sort of time.
I think so. I really doubt that as good as 100 back is, that sort of time, when you put it into perspective of what everyone else is doing, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I think she goes faster than that at Tokyo, of course. I think she might go to 7.6 or 7, something like that. So it's not quite the world record. That world record is very quick from Hossu. 206 is mental time. And a quick shout out as well to Siobhan Maria O'Connor, who's now recently retired, who also went 206 at Rio.
Yeah.
Just shows how good she is as well, or was.
Yeah, you just need to look around the world. And Kaylee McEwen's lighting sparks off everywhere in every race she does. And she's still, a second and a half behind what Siobhan used to do. So that's an incredibly fast British record that she's got. And I think sport's going to miss her. I think swimming is going to miss her.
Well, she's a great role model for every youngster. I know she used to do lots of talks at Keynsham and other clubs that are close to Bath in the vicinity. Great role model. And I wish her the best of luck with her future endeavours. But she's been a great servant to British swimming.
Mm. Back to Kaylee, though. She also qualified in the 200 meters backstroke. She just missed the world record here. Although we keep saying it, the Reagan Smith world records are bonkers and Kaylee McEwen's getting close to them.
I know. Well, what makes it even crazier is that both of them are still teenagers. Or is Reagan Smith 20? I think they're both 19, which is incredible. So they could be fighting it out for the next decade, potentially.
Fun.
Which is incredible. I mean, that time could go lower and lower and lower. It wouldn't surprise me if we see a 202, which is mental to think about. 202 for a 200 backstroke. That is insane. But they could be battling out for 10 years, a decade. Just incredible.
A quick shout out as well to Emily Seabum, who qualified for her fourth Olympic Games, aged 29.
Yep.
Both in the 100 back and 200 back behind Kaylee McEwen. I wasn't surprised by the 200. The 100,
yeah,
slightly
I was surprised
that Mina Atherton missed out. Slightly. Yeah.
I mean, I've been bigging up Mina Atherton, especially with doing so well at ISL. I think it was the first season she did so well at the ISL. Breaking a world record, actually, in the ISL for the short course 100 backstroke, I think it was. That really surprised me. I thought she would get a definite second, but Emily Seabum, just a veteran. I mean, you can't take anything away from her. Fourth Olympics, which is joint now with Liesl Jones and also Kate Campbell, which we'll get onto later on.
Mm. Right. So another big standout swimmer from these meets that everyone definitely, definitely needs to pay attention to in Tokyo, because I think she's going to cause a massive shockwave through the sport, really. Mm. Ariane Titmus. Now, where do you want to start? Which race? The 4, the 2, the 8?
Oh, blimey. Well, I want to start with, they're both just as good as each other. Let's go with the 4, because that was a surprise to me, because I didn't think anyone could cause Ledecky any problems at Tokyo for 400, 800, 1500. But now, that head-to-head for the 400 free is mental. I mean, that's one of the big races to watch now at Tokyo, because you just don't know who's going to win it.
So Titmus went a 356.9, which is only 0.44 off Ledecky's world record. That's how close she got.
Yep. second fastest time ever. End up being a 1.8 second PB as well, which actually is probably the most mind-boggling thing. And as far as I heard, she only had a 3-day taper as well. Which
I really hope that's a lie. I really do. Because you're going 0.4 for Ledecky. There's me complaining that Ledecky's making distance freestyle boring. That 400, nope, not boring anymore.
Not anymore. That's a one race to watch out for because, yeah, I mean, before these trials, you'd say Ledecky's won that, no problem. But now, coin flip for me, honestly. I mean, I think both of them went into their separate trials untapered, so it could go anyway. It really could. That's definitely a one to watch if you want an exciting head-to-head because they're going to be level the whole race, pretty much. It's just a straight race for the last 50 meters.
And then her other standout race was 200 meters freestyle. Now, this one, to me, this was more impressive. It really was because Ledecky's quality and she's got close to her in the 400. Brilliant. But to go a 153 in the 200 meters freestyle and to get within touching distance of a record from Pellegrini that honestly I thought would last a lifetime, to get that close at trials, wow.
Honestly,
do you have any words? Because I'm lost.
Well, I was watching it and all I could see was the qualifying time, pretty much. I wasn't really interested in the world record time. And when she touched the wall and saw 153, it didn't really set in straight away. It's like, well, that's a pretty good time. Oh, wait, hang on a minute. That Pellegrini world record is a 152.9. That was a super soup time, which I said to you quite a while ago, that's one of the best world records and one that will probably stand for God knows how long. That swim kind of proves to me that she's going to break that. I mean, it was mind-blowing swim. I mean, if we're going off, I don't want to talk about it too much. If she's gone off a 3-day taper and she's going in low 153, boy, she's going to break that world record. You know, I'm really shocked by the amount of world records that might potentially drop at Tokyo. I didn't think it would be like this, but yeah, she had a great meet. She really did.
Yeah, I think to put it into perspective, Dan, I know you're not going to enjoy me saying this, and I know a lot of our listeners aren't going to enjoy me saying this. You've been tipping Freya for an outside medal chance.
I have, yeah.
Now, Freya goes a 155 high, if I'm correct, on her PB.
56 low, something around that region, yeah.
Yeah. So that's a good 2 and a bit more seconds away from what Titmus is doing. And then you've got some Americans to throw into it. You've got Siobhan Haughey. This is the target for Freya to get to. I fully think she can get there, but it's going to take a few more years. Tokyo might be slightly too soon.
Yeah, I was kind of in two minds. I was blown away by Titmus's time. And then I actually messaged you saying, I think the outside chance of Freya getting a medal now is pretty much gone. I mean, you never know. If she makes the final, she's got a lane, you've got a chance.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But
yeah, it's looking pretty unlikely, which is unfortunate. But it's going to be a great spectacle between, I assume Ledecky's going to race it, between her and Titmus. And of course, like you say, Haughey and there's other swimmers as well. So
Pellegrini,
Yeah, it's going to be mental.
I mean, it's also worth mentioning she broke the Australian record in their 800 meters freestyle. So she had three ridiculously good events. All three of them, she'll be going head to head with Ledecky. And finally, we have a competition to watch.
Yeah. And what was really good, going back to Amazon a little bit with the underwater footage, you could see how balanced she was in the water. Even with the 800, which of course Grant was saying that you start burning towards the end and the technique starts to fade away a little bit, but her technique was holding throughout the whole race. Her head was perfectly still, unless she was breathing, of course, pulling underneath her. Everything was good about it. And she's definitely one to watch. And it's surprising, really, that she's only 20 as well. So she's got many years left in the game as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Another name to pay attention to in Tokyo, Kyle Chalmers. Now, he was a bit of a surprise winning the Rio gold in the 100 meters freestyle. Very much now he's a name. He's a man to beat. Him and Dressel are kind of the class of the 100 meters freestyle field. But the first event he qualified for was the 200 meters free. I was slightly surprised to see him winning this. I mean, he won in a 145.4, which is a good second slower than what Duncan and Tom Dean did at British Trials.
Yep.
So I don't really expect him to be a threat in the individual. But then you look at the relay team and you think, well, they actually had four swimmers under a 146, which is pretty strong. That's pretty good.
Oh, pretty strong. That's very strong. Yeah. I mean, I don't think it gets anywhere close to the British team, but I mean,
touch wood.
I was kind of surprised. The winning time of Chalmers was 1:45.4. Was actually a PB for him, believe it or not. But I don't see him as a 200 meter swimmer anyway. No. He's a more of a 100 meter swimmer. The winning time wasn't very quick compared to like the British swimmers and elsewhere. But yeah, the top four swimmers, sub 1:46. I mean, that's a podium team for that relay for the 4x2. I suppose that's the biggest takeaway for that 200 free. But for Chalmers to be winning the 200 free, I know he won it last trials, I believe, or he wins at every national Australian meet.
All right, doesn't he?
Yeah. It's just strange, actually. Especially with Australia being a freestyle nation. I mean, you look at all of the freestyle techniques and it's just flawless. I was watching like, yeah, that's perfect. It's pretty much perfect. Pretty much perfect. Go down the whole race of each lane and the technique is incredible. And I just thought, especially with Thorpe being there, you think someone would get close to that 1:44 region, you know? But either way, I mean, it's going to be good for the relay for them anyway.
Yeah, well, while we're talking about good Australian techniques, so we talk about the 100 free. That Chalmers obviously won a 47.5, I believe.
Yep, that's right.
Lays down a very good marker ahead of Tokyo. I kind of want to give a shout out to a man who didn't qualify, which is kind of weird. But Cam McAvoy, he has the most beautiful freestyle technique going.
You'll be happy to know he is qualified, but for the 4x1 red relay, not for the individual. He came third, which was, I mean, he went under the qualification time, but he just got pipped to second. But you're right, his techniques, how'd you explain it? The high elbows over and under the water, the powerful leg kick, the drive to his hip, the body rotation. He's like, if he's a prime, if you want to know how to do body rotation, watch him because he does have power to his hip, doesn't he? So yeah.
I want you to do a breakdown of his racing and his technique. I know there's a video out there of his underwater, like an underwater camera following him for a whole length. So I want you to break that down for everyone because it's just so good to watch. So good to watch. But Chalmers, 100 meters freestyle, lay down a marker. He'll be there or thereabouts in the final at Tokyo, I would have expected.
Yeah, as far as I know, I don't think anyone's ever defended the men's 100 free Olympic title before. So he'd be the first to do it, which would be one mean feat, let me tell you that, especially with someone like Dressel flying around.
Yeah. Yeah. More standout swims. There's so many. We will cover them all. 200 meters breaststroke on the guy's side. Zach's double T Cook goes to 2:06.28. Another one who tickled a world record.
Mm.
Now, we've said so many times that it's going to take a 2:05 to win the Olympic gold in 200 meters breaststroke on the guy's side. I am leaning towards a 2:05 to make the podium right now.
There's some fast times. I definitely stand by a 2:05 is what it's going to have to take to win Olympic gold. And you might be right, it might take a 2:05 to actually get a medal, full stop. Some fantastic swims. 2:06.2 is the second fastest time ever, I believe, behind Chupkov. And he looked good at Europeans as well.
He did.
Jeez, I mean, it's going to be a very interesting race. So it's a good tactical race where you go out quite steady and then you bring it back quite strongly. And then whoever's got the speed in the last 50 meters is going to win it, pretty much. Fantastic swim. And we've got to have, I mean, the big talking point, massive talking point. At the time, it was gutting. Literally, I was almost in tears watching it. Not going to lie to you.
I was in tears at the presentation when they interviewed him afterwards.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Right. If you don't know what we're talking about, we're talking about Matt Wilson, who was the former world record holder at this event. He tried at Australian Trials for Rio, just missed it by 0.1 or 0.2 or something along those lines. 0.1 was it? And pretty much, it just repeated itself. He missed the qualification time by 0.1, 0.2 again. And his face, oh man, it was gut-wrenching. Honestly, so gut-wrenching.
There's a bit of a backstory as well, which makes it even harder to kind of understand, is Matt, unfortunately, a few days before trial, lost his grandmother. And to see him get selected on that final day when he hadn't hit the time and they said, you know what, go. Benefit of the doubt, we'll take you, was just unbelievable, and actually kind of restored some faith in swimming, because I'm not sure British swimming would be so lenient with their selection times.
Yeah, I mean, trials, notoriously for most countries is pretty cutthroat. If you don't make that qualification time, you don't go. But seeing as though he's a former world record holder, and I think he was a world medalist as well a couple of years back.
Just makes sense.
They gave him the benefit of the doubt. And actually, you're right. I think it has restored a bit of faith. And you never know. He might go on and win gold. I mean, you just don't know because he's got the ability to do it, you see.
Yeah, you've got to give him the benefit of doubt. That build-up was horrible. I can't imagine it. His mum wasn't able to get there because she stayed and sorted out funeral arrangements and she couldn't watch it. And my God, it was, I don't know, if anyone wants to cry a little bit tonight, go watch it. But it got me. It really got me.
And of course, that interview that you're talking about at the end when he was selected, the interview of Gian Rooney, I think it was, where he was asking about his grandmother and he just couldn't speak. He was just
I don't know how you ask those questions. I mean, we invite people on the podcast and ask those questions. I couldn't ask someone that.
No, really difficult. Sorry. But ultimately, really happy for him. I hope he does really well at Tokyo. He deserves it, honestly. He does deserve it. Well, I don't know what else to say about it other than I'm going to cry. But yeah.
Okay, so before we touch on two or three big points of note from the races, do you want to fly through some really impressive results for a few others?
Yeah, there was actually quite a few, to be honest with you. I'll go through them as quickly as possible. Brendan Smith in the 400 IM Australian record, 4:10.04.
That's fast.
That is pretty good, isn't it? You had Matt Temple, again, with another fast time, 50.45 in the 100 fly, which is the eighth fastest ever.
Yeah. Mental. I mean, I was watching that race. It looked really good. And then, I mean, we're recording this on a Friday afternoon. So, was it half hour before we've recorded this? Caleb Dressel has just gone a 50.1 at American Trials. Easy speed in the heats. I mean, the 100, that looked really impressive from Matt Temple. And you're watching it just like, oh, maybe he's a threat for Tokyo. And now you're looking at it just like, oh, God.
That was exactly my thoughts. At the time, I was like, 50.4. Whoa, that is pretty good going. I mean, that's on the same level as Milak. And you're like, whoa, pay up. And then Dressel does that. And you think, oh, well, never mind then. Maybe it's not as good as it. But still a good swim. Eighth fastest swim ever. Although it's probably now ninth because Caleb has just because Caleb's got the world record.
Caleb's already got it.
Yeah.
Go on, moving on.
Other swims, Mitch Larkin qualified for the 100 backstroke. He did a 53.0 in the heat, but then did a 53.4 in the final. I mean, it's good, but then he kind of backed up a little bit with the 200 IM where he went 156.2. Now that is a pretty good time. That's the second fastest. It was the second fastest year until American Trials, Michael Andrew, who's just smashed it and gone a 155, I think it was.
We'll talk about Michael Andrew on our podcast, which I believe is going to be Monday, US Trials. Yep. Don't worry, we'll get into that. I have a lot to talk about that race. That was in semi-final as well. There's a final to come on that one.
I know.
Mitch Larkin, I was really surprised he dropped the two back because he's up there with the two best in the world with two back. I know it's a really competitive event, and I was slightly surprised he chose the 2IM over it. And then you watch the 2IM and you're just like, okay, I get you.
Yeah,
there's a clash between both of them.
I've always seen him as a backstroker, of course. He's got the Australian record for, I think it's both actually, the one and the two. I knew he was good at 200 IM, but I didn't realize he was this good. I mean, this is the same sort of level, give or take, as Duncan Scott. And you think, well, if you're happy with Duncan Scott's time, you've got to be relatively happy with this time. Mm. So yeah, I mean, he's on the plane either way. I mean, fantastic swim from him. There's more names here. Jack McLaughlin looks really solid in the races he swam, the 400, the 800, and the 1500, qualifying for all three of them. He's got a fantastic technique, does Jack, actually. Another just a classic Australian distance swimmer who's got a fantastic technique. Madeline Goff, again, another fantastic technique, being a distance swimmer. In the 1500, the second fastest time this year, in a time of 15:46.13. Again, an Australian record. So, you know, plenty of swims.
Okay, so next big talking point from Aussie Trials. I'm going to pick a bone with a newspaper, The Guardian.
Yes.
They put out an article, Mack Horton flops and misses defending his Olympic title in the 400 meters freestyle. Now, disappointing that Horton isn't there. I fully expected him to make this team. Maybe that was me just being a bit complacent and already putting him on the plane. Now, he isn't racing an individual at Tokyo. He's only going now for a relay for the 4x2, which is a bit of a surprise. But in no way, shape or form did he flop.
No, I was actually really angry with that title because it's far from a flop. You can't go the third fastest time in the world this year and call that a flop. Mm. He went a 3:43. Put that in any other country. Let's go back to America, shall we? The Americans are nowhere near that time in the men's 400 free. Absolutely nowhere near. Kieran Bird went 3:46. So Max going nearly 3 seconds quicker. And so if Max done a flop, then the rest of the world are flopping badly. I mean, I was really, really up. I was angry by that because he just got beaten on the day by two better swimmers.
Incredible swims.
Yeah, honestly, 3:42 from Elijah Willington. For me now, he's got to be favourite to win that, just based off that time alone.
I agree.
I think he drops it further. I think he goes down to a 3:41, well within his capabilities, I would have thought. I wasn't very happy with the Matt Horton media title from Guardian.
Clickbaity. It was clickbaity for no reason whatsoever because, like you said, a 3:43... No one in the world is going to say no to that.
Yeah. It's just a shame that Australia are normally very good at this race, especially with Thorpe being the very best. Hackett was obviously very good at it. And it just carries on. It's just one of those events that Australia are always good at. It's just unfortunate for Mac. I mean, there's no other words to say about it. I mean,
to put it in perspective for kind of British listeners, it's just the same as Jimmy Guy missing out on the 200 free.
Yeah,
because Jimmy went a 1:45, which was the fastest time he's done in a very long time. But he just got beaten by two guys who went a 1:44 and are the first and second fastest in the world. I mean, you don't see headlines written about Jimmy saying he flopped, do you? It's just the negative media connotations from that was completely unnecessary. Completely unnecessary.
It was, especially when it's Matt Horton, who is an Australian legend. He won the 400 free at Rio. I mean, he's got to have some sort of respect on his name. He just absolutely does not deserve to have the word flop next to it because he didn't have the chance to defend his title. I'm glad he's on the plane. He's in a relay. It is. It's not great that he misses the 400 free individual, but he was beaten by two better guys on the day. And that's ultimately what it comes down to.
Okay, so that's kind of the last negative point I want to take away from Australian trials. Let's move on to two more swimmers who I'm really excited to see in Tokyo. Emma McKeon in the 100 meters butterfly goes a 55.9. Now, with Sjöström being injured, we don't really know what sort of times she's going to come out with at Tokyo. There's not really any guide whatsoever. I think Emma might well be one to watch for that gold medal.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. She's got a fantastic chance of certainly medaling. And I think she's got a great chance of winning gold as well. Australian record for her, so it's a big PB, 55.9. I just don't know if Sjöström's going to be racing it. Honestly, I'm not so sure because
she's not swimming butterfly yet, is she?
Yeah, so I don't know if she's doing it. I mean, being, 4 weeks out now, is it worth it? Is she just going to do the 50 and 100 free? I'm not so sure. But because of that, I suppose, gives Emma McKeon a better chance of certainly meddling anyway. Mm. 55.9 is a pretty good time. Very decent.
And then Emma McKeon was in my personal opinion, the best race of Aussie trials, the 100 meters freestyle, because the depth that they have, we thought our 4x2 relay for the men's side in British swimming was deep as hell. This is bonkers.
I mean, what was it? The top four was sub 53. So you got four women going 52 point.
Yeah.
I mean, is that nailed on gold?
I think you had six of them going underneath the qualification time.
Yeah. Yeah. Mental. Absolutely mental. And of course, they're going to take all six because, of course, two of those girls, Bronte Campbell being one of them, didn't she make it fifth for the individual. She came fifth or sixth. Yeah, one of them. so she's just going to be doing a heat swim. God, it's just mind-boggling the depth of Australian sprint swimming right now, especially in freestyle.
Kate Campbell came second. Mm. She qualifies for the individual. I think she She very much wanted this one. I'm watching it and you're right. She definitely dies the last 15 meters of 100. She reminds me quite a lot of Manadu on the on that front. He's brilliant at the 50. He tries his hand at the 100 and you watch him 75 meters to go and you're just like, wow, he's looking good. And then, oh God, wheels coming off. But she's there. She's qualified with Emma McEwen. When you're saying that the top four went sub 53, she's not exactly going slow.
Oh, no chance. I mean, what would I say? I think the world record is 51.9. Is that right? From Socium, something along those lines? It's 51 point anyway, maybe 51.7. So if you're able to go a 52 point low, got a great chance of medaling. Of course, being a sprints event, it's a little bit more, might get it on the touch or longer fingernail. But yeah, wow. I mean, she's qualified for a fourth Olympics, same as Emily Sebum as well. So that's an achievement in itself.
Yeah.
And I think she's going to win another Olympic medal with that 4x1 freestyle relay team.
Oh, like I said, give them a gold. Give them the world record because they've won that. There's no chance in hell that they lose that. If I had a mortgage, I'd probably put it on it.
Do you reckon? Yeah, probably. Oh, I'm not going to disagree with you. I mean, they both Emma and Kate again backed it up in the 53, which I believe was pretty much the last event.
Yeah, it was.
Or the 1500 men's was the last event, but the 50 meet for the women, the 53 was the last event. Both of them pretty much at the same time, only 0.01 separating them. 23.9, which I believe is top two in the world right now as well. So, yeah.
Great form for female sprinting over in Australia. And
absolutely.
I mean, those are all the names that you should pay attention to basically in Tokyo. I think they're taking a squad of 35. If I am counting correctly, I think 35 they're taking.
Yeah.
Those are the names to pay attention to. Kaylee McEwen, Ariane Titmus. You've got Kyle Chalmers, Zach Stupplety-Cook, Brendan Smith, Matt Temple, Mitch Larkin, Elijah Winnington, Emma McKeon, and Kate Campbell. Those are the big names to pay attention to. Some of their relays will be pretty strong as well. Some points of note from the whole meet itself, Dan, not related to Amazon. We've covered that. We could talk all day, but we won't. I think one point to take away that was brought up to us on Twitter is that Aussies notoriously race fast at home. So we might need to kind of curb expectations slightly, but with the younger guns like Kaylee McEwen and Ariane Titmus, I'm not sure that's too much of a worry because this is their first Olympics. I think you're looking historically for that. Another thing I want to take away, and British swimming, do this next Olympics, is letting the swimmers know who's on the team the day it finishes, straight after. Decisions really aren't that hard. We predicted the team that is going to the Olympics. We pretty much got it within two swimmers. It's not that hard to do. You do not need to delay it by a week. You can let them celebrate on poolside with their friends, with their family in the stands. Do what Australian swimming did. It was incredibly classy.
It was. I tweeted about it and said it was incredibly classy because, of course, you've got the parents on the side as well. So they can actually join in the celebrations. And it just builds a team cohesion in that moment where they've all got the same goal of making the Olympics. They've all done it. And so now they're going together as a team towards Tokyo. Why we don't do it baffles me. And it kind of annoys me a little bit as well. Watch that team. And they're all happy, of course. They've got their yellow jackets on.
There were moments we were watching it and the Matt Wilson thing made us cry. I'm just like, that's what you want swimming to do.
Yeah,
like, I don't want some announcement coming out 9 a.m. on a Wednesday when no one's paying attention to swimming. You've got all eyes on the sport now. Everyone's watched trials. Announce the team now.
I've got no idea why we had to wait like a week or so just to get the names that we kind of knew were going anyway. But
the only people that got named for the British Olympic team in that week delay were people who had gone faster than consideration times. There was no one else. Yeah. It was just people who'd gone consideration times. No one who went a consideration time missed out. I mean, It was basic logic. You should have just done it on the day when, like we said, everyone is watching this event. This is a chance for maybe your young guys like Kieran Bird to push their name out slightly a little bit more.
Yeah, building profiles. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's I don't understand it. And they made it as a proper ceremony as well.
Oh, it was great. It looked like graduation.
It was literally like graduation. That's how I described it as well. But that's how it should be. You've got to celebrate their achievements, because making an Olympic team, especially for Australia, because it's tough in Australia, it's a big deal. You can see it's a big deal out there. And it should be made more of a bigger deal out here as well. Britain, I mean. Because I'm sure the Americans would do it as well, or the French, or whoever else. They would make a big deal of it, but we just don't. And it needs to change. Honestly, I mean, we've got superstars in Nepal, and get them out there, celebrate them. I mean, the Australians, I've said it time and time again, they do it right. Every single bit of it was done perfectly.
Everything, yeah. I think that's very much why we decided we wanted to do a review of Australian trials, because it's the gold standard in terms of coverage. I know Americans, in terms of excitement, we'll get into that, and Omaha is just mind-blowing. But the whole meet, the way this was run, the way there was common sense when people just missed out because of extenuating circumstances, the swims were on fire, world records, nine world leading times. You've got people coming back for their fourth Olympics, the coverage from Amazon, the list is endless. But this is why we decided to do this podcast, because it needs talking about. People in Britain need to be made aware.
This is how it could be.
That people do it better. People do it a lot better. And this is how it should be. And British trials were faster than this in a lot of races.
Yep.
But this is going to get a whole lot more excitement because of the way it was done.
And that's maybe the unfortunate side for British swimming, because you might have the British swimmers look at that and you think, oh, that could be us. We could be in the spotlight.
They could be on Amazon. They could be having a documentary about us. You've watched it.
Yeah. Oh, very good documentary. Going way off topic here, but it's a really good documentary. I think it was 4 or 5 episodes. I was stuck to it. Honestly, I was stuck to it. 45 minutes each episode. I was there for 3 or 4 hours, just sat there watching it. But looking at it, I'm sort of jealous of how it is in Australia. And I hope British swimming are watching and thinking, we could do that. And they're right.
Yeah.
You could do it. Just act on it. So hopefully, fingers crossed, it does change.
We'll see
in the future.
So that just about rounds up this kind of bonus podcast for everyone. Like we said, these are the names that you want to pay attention to. There's a big squad of 35. We aren't going to go through every race. We haven't gone through every race, every name, but we've given you the ones to pay attention to in Tokyo, especially the ones who are probably threats to British swimming. I think we have that slight bias in our minds when we are reviewing this. But all in all, Australian trials was brilliant. I cannot wait for Tokyo now. It's only 4 weeks away, 5 weeks away.
Yeah, 4 or 5. I don't know where we are right now, but it's close. It's somewhere close. But I mean, like I said right at the very beginning, I'm so excited for Tokyo now. And of course, in the next couple of days, we're going to talk about the American trials as well, which I'm sure will be just as exciting. I actually haven't watched too much of it. I've just watched little bits of it, of big swims. So I'm actually going to have a deep dive into it for the next 2 days. But yes, very exciting times now.
Yep. So we'll be back in a few days' time. Like we said, Tokyo coverage ramping up. We'll be talking about American trials. So if you have enjoyed this podcast, if you've enjoyed any of our other interviews with British swimmers, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or subscribe to us on all of your podcast providing platforms, as well as YouTube. Me and Dan will be back with you very, very soon. We're super excited, if you can tell by how much we've been talking about this Australian trials, which has nothing to do with British swimming, but we're excited about swimming.
Swimming fans first and foremost, as we always say.
So, that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah. So if it looks on telly and if it does well for the sport, then we're absolutely behind it.
Brilliant. So from myself, Scott, and from Dan, we will see you guys in a couple of days' time.
And we'll catch you on the next one, guys.
You've been listening to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast with Scott and Dan. We want to thank you for joining us and invite you to subscribe to the show, as well as checking out the Propulsion Swimming YouTube channel for weekly tutorials and videos to get your swimming fix. We will be back next week. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one.